Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
This year, our theme is faith over fear, and it could be just for yourself. Maybe as the year is coming to an end, you started off trusting God for certain things, and up to now, nothing has happened, and you are questioning your faith. And we have those questions that challenge this very faith that we believe in. People have asked questions like, why would a good God allow suffering? If God is really sovereign and all-powerful, why can't he stop evil around the world and the evil that's happening to me? Those are real questions that we could have. How can a loving God send people to hell? By the way, that's the wrong question. Because God never sends people to hell. God gives people a choice. And they choose. But those questions are real. Is it possible for us to follow scientific discovery and still be people of faith? With all the discoveries happening around? Can we trust God's word? Is it really true? In our city today, there's a faith crisis and people are asking questions about the faith because there are people who are preachers of the word and people of faith, but right now they are living a life that's totally opposite to what they've been preaching. So questions start to come. Were they just taking us through some form of circus? So we're beginning a series that is meant to continue to reaffirm the faith you've believed in. And we're calling it the reason for faith. Why we must continue to be people of faith over fear, regardless of what's happening around us, regardless of the shaking that could happen around us, there is a reason why we must continue to be people of faith. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And Peter was writing to a church that was going through suffering. And they were being questioned, if you're really believers and you trust that there's a God who can save you from this suffering, why continue to have faith in him? And Peter says to the church, you have to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. He's encouraging the church. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But he says, do this with gentleness and respect. In other words, he was saying, every believer needs to have this very confidence to give the reason for the hope that they have, for the faith that they have. But the way you do it is with gentleness and respect. Listen, when it comes to defending the faith, you don't need to be aggressive. You don't need to shout at people and have arguments and do all those kinds of things. Peter's saying, no. Give the reason and do it with gentleness and respect for where people are at. Because our faith doesn't need defense. It is so real. And a very simple example is we are gathered here today, thousands of people. You know why? As a witness that this faith is very real. It's very real. So it says, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a defense for your faith. So today, the particular subject I want to handle is, why must we continue to believe the Bible? Why must I continue to believe this Bible as the Word of God? Well, here's why. And then I'll continue to unpack this thought. The Bible is the Word of God that is the only sure and irreplaceable foundation for our faith. Throw out the Bible, you've thrown out the reason for faith. And if that's true, then I want to challenge you. Fall in love with the Bible and the Word of God. Trust this Word. Obey what it says. Apply it in your life and watch your life be transformed. This Bible is the sure foundation for our faith. It's the very reason we can have faith. 2 Timothy verses 3:16 says this. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture. Now listen, all scripture means all. The Old Testament and the New Testament is the inspired word of God. There is people who are teaching today, forget the Old Testament, only focus on the New Testament. It's as though you're saying the Old Testament wasn't inspired by God. How can you have a new without the old? For you to appreciate the New Testament, you gotta have the Old Testament. By the way, it's the same God everywhere, writing his powerful story. You need the entire counsel of God. It says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture inspired by God. Inspired means God, through the Holy Spirit, used human writers to pen down his word through the Bible. God. Now please understand, when you read the Bible, okay, it is literally God speaking to you. This word of God is as real as you're hearing my voice. When you read the word of God, this is not Julius or some man of God speaking to you. It's the very word of God. He just inspired human beings to pen it down. It's God saying to you, I love you. It's God saying to you, do not be afraid. It is God saying to you that if you surrender your life to his son, Jesus, you will be saved. It's God saying to you, ask and you will receive. Now, my friends, this God I'm talking about, he's the owner of everything and the creator of everything. You can count on his word. Take the word out, take our faith out. That's why today I want to remind you, the reason for our faith is because we have the word of God. You want to know the will of God? Go read the word of God. You will find his will, the way life needs to happen. The word of God not only changes lives, it can transform society. So it's inspired by God. 2 Peter verses 1, chapter 1 and verse 21 says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through human spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, this Bible, my friends, is not like your math textbook. It's not like the chemistry textbook you had at school. It's not like your literature. For some of you, the moment I mention chemistry and literature, there's a faith crisis. But this word is relevant to the educated, the uneducated, to the young, all. Everybody can relate to the word of God. And I don't have to be brilliant and smart for this word to have impact in my life. Hello? This word of God is the sole foundation, the irreplaceable foundation for the faith we have in God. The reason I can continue to have faith over fear, even though the circumstances around me seem to be saying the opposite, is because we can count on God's word. That phrase, being carried along by the Holy Spirit, means that God did not violate the different personalities and abilities and the context of the people that wrote those scriptures. Instead, it was the Holy Spirit who acted upon them in their real context and was addressing real needs of their day, and God was exercising his care for his people. The result, is what we now have as the 66 books in the Bible. Without error, infallible, and the true revelation of God in their original documents. Now, they were not written in English, they were translated to English. But with lots of people that were concentrated to make sure that nothing was diluted. And because God loves us so much, He made sure we didn't need to learn Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic. He said, I'll come to you in your own language. And so you have multiple translations of the Word of God reaching all kinds of people because God is interested in reaching people. And He does it through His Word. Today this Word is being preached all across the world in different languages. Not by chance, but by design. So friends, I encourage you to pay close attention whenever you read the Word of God or get to hear the Word of God. Today I want to challenge you. If your faith has been based on nothing other than the Word of God, begin to place yourself, your faith in the sure foundation of this Word. They are the very words of God Almighty speaking to you as His children. But Pastor, can you prove what you've just said? As a question people will ask, because we live in a very questioning time where people are challenging everything. Isn't this just someone's makeup? Well, sometimes you don't even need to go to try and prove different things. The very fact that we are here, each of us can testify that this Word has had an impact in our lives. So if somebody wanted proof, there's over 1,000 people here who can testify, I can be a witness. My life changed because of this Word of God. And that's just in this building. If you put everybody together, that's enough proof. But let me go through some other evidences that help us to continue putting our faith in the Bible as the Word of God, as the reason for our faith. Why the Bible? Here are some evidences that I'm going to go through, and I won't exhaust them, but I'm just going to mention a few. One, this Word of God, the Bible, has survived generations. It is indestructible. Some people have attempted in history to get rid of the Bible, but they couldn't, because they think it was just some form of literature written by some human beings. This is God's Word. And He defends His Word. It is indestructible. So dictators and emperors, politicians, some philosophers have tried to say, don't put your faith and trust in the Word of God. And they've come up with philosophies. One of those guys was a guy called Francois Marie, who is really known, his pet name and his pen name, like people have stage name, was Voltaire. Some of you have heard about this French guy. Incredible historian, brilliant guy, great reasoner, and he really was trying to tell people that, you know, don't put your faith in the Word of God. Life is about rationale. He came up with some very good quotes that we even use today, and some of you know them. He said things like, common sense is not common. I wish he applied it in his own life. And that's what he said. Common sense is not common. And he's right. And people say, man, that makes so much sense. He made statements like, good is the enemy of best. And so people said, man, I think this rationale of thinking things like that is the way of life. And so I say, no, you don't need the Bible. He made it his life's purpose to propagate rationalism as the national system of belief in his nation, France. He produced several volumes brimming with hatred for the Bible. He worked so hard to turn Europe from faith in the Word of God. And as a result, his very country, France, rejected the scriptures. And Voltaire said he once tied a copy of the Bible to a tail of a donkey. And he dragged it through the streets for everybody to see. And he took it to the city dump, to the garbage area, where it was ceremoniously burned with fire, set to a flame. Saying, forget this Bible. But since that time, The very government that was saying get rid of the Bible, since that time, the government of France has fallen 35 times. Because governments are not eternal. Voltaire predicted that within 100 years of his death, Christianity would be swept away from existence and pass into history. 2 centuries later, how many of you have a Voltaire book in your house? But we have the Word of God with us today. This Word is indestructible. Today there are people who are trying to fight to get rid of the Word of God. Ban the Bible out of schools. Ban the Bible out of public spaces. Don't hang the Ten Commandments in the courts of law. Why should we have anything to do with God in our constitution? We are free people. We don't need to know anything of God. Let me tell you, they can try as hard as they can. They gotta look back in history and recognize that there is one who said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. His name is Jesus. This word, you can count on it. It has withstood times. Think of historical evidence in terms of actual places that are mentioned in the Bible. Thousands of years later, archaeologists are discovering these things. And some people won't bring them to the news. They won't bring them out and say, oh, we found this and it's in the Bible now. As much as it all exists, people are more excited to hear discoveries that are outside of what the Bible says. And there's so much evidence, historical evidence. You see, the Bible talks about the nation of Israel and the Jewish people being the example that God would use to demonstrate how much he would love the rest of the world. He chose the nation of Israel. Said, these are my prized people. And through history, this nation that is so small, there's been attempts to wipe out this nation. But Israel stands out today as evidence to the entire world, to the political powers that may be, that there is a God in heaven. And once he has said, these are my people, no human being can wipe them out on this planet. Just the nation of Israel itself is evidence that you can count on this word. Because God said, they are my people. Why the Bible? There's evidence. Some historians who have done lots of research always come to a conclusion that we may not be in a place where we can acknowledge that, yeah, Jesus was the Son of God, but we cannot deny the historical evidence that there lived Jesus, who totally changed society. He died a young man at 33 and a half years, but up to today, his impact is still being felt. People that worship other gods and other faiths, they will also tell you in some of their literature, they make reference to Jesus. They will give him some other names. They may call him a prophet, but they cannot deny that there was a Jesus that existed. They can't deny. And those are some things that theologians will call external evidences of the fact that this Bible is the Word of God. But for me, the real proof is not just external. It's just looking at what this Word says and what it does. Just studying the Scripture itself and analyzing it. Another thought that I want to leave with you, which is an amazing evidence of this being the Word of God, is the unity of the Bible message. How there are 66 books, but they all have one message. Now, Voltaire wrote over 2,000 books. Over 2,000. These are simply 66 books that have withstood time. All together in what we call the Bible with one message. Now, hear this. The Bible is composed of 66 individual books. They were written on three continents, in three different languages, over a period of approximately 1,600 years. Can you imagine? By more than 40 authors, those who we talked about were inspired by God, who came from many walks of life, most of whom didn't even know each other, and they lived in totally different generations. Now, for you to appreciate that, let me ask, how many of you are married here? You are married. Or you have a person you consider, man, this is my best buddy. We all do. Now, those who are married all have a best buddy. If we ask you to write a book on which you agree together, just two of you, husband and wife, we will take long to receive a book where you're all in agreement. Just two people. Which way should we brush our teeth? Do you start with the upper or the lower? Which way do you take a shower? Feet first, head first, hands first. And for some of us outside, you first leave the water. Just to agree on those is a crisis. When we were first married, I went to the kitchen because we were told, man, you're married. You know, nowadays, it's no longer just women cooking. Everybody can cook, and I wanted to. So I entered the kitchen. First major debate was from the kitchen. How do you cut tomatoes and onions? Do you slice them in order? Or the end justifies the means? Just chop, 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 throw in there. With my wife. And I got out of the kitchen and never went back for peace's sake. Just getting two people to agree is a challenge. Even in the politics, when everybody wants power, they say, let's do a power sharing deal. Never works. Try to get 40 people to agree on a message for over 1,600 years. It takes the finger of God. Only the word of God, from different contexts, different backgrounds, writing something in their own context, yet it is one big message. The Bible remains one unified book from beginning to end. It never contradicts itself, and it's the same message. This is the one message from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that there is a loving God who is out there to save sinful man in order to have a loving relationship with him. That's the one message in the Bible. Across time, you can count on it. Why the Bible? Its message is very simple. Its message is for everyone. God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. God loves you. He cares about your everyday life. God loves you. He's given you principles in His word by which you can live by. That's the unity in the Bible. Let me talk about another aspect that you can find in the Bible, and that is fulfilled prophecy. Now, when I talk about prophecy, we live in a context today with so many prophets around who are going around saying they are prophesying. Prophecy that does not point people to God and points people to a prophet is false prophecy. The purpose of prophecy is to call people to trust in this Almighty God. The men that God inspired to write the scriptures, who were prophets, always never drew attention to themselves. They always pointed people to God. And this Bible is a very prophetic book. And it has prophecy in there that has been fulfilled. It's the sure foundation on which to place our faith, my friends. Because listen, prophets, men of God, pastors, apostles, bishops, whoever they are, they come and they go. But this word will never go out of fashion. This word is very powerful. That's why you must never place your faith in a person that names themselves a prophet or an apostle. However gifted they are, always place your faith and trust in the sure foundation, this Bible. So there's prophecies contained in this Bible that were fulfilled in that span of time. For example, there's over 300 prophecies that were concerning the life of Jesus in the Old Testament. Not only was his birth foretold, but his lineage, and also how he would die and where he would be born, and that he would rise again. Over 300 prophecies, all of them fulfilled by the coming of Jesus. You can trust this word. Now, some mathematicians have said, let's try to do the math around fulfillments of prophecy. And I'm not talking about people adjusting or using common occurrences and they call it prophecy. Or today, I'm here to tell you, I prophesy, because some of them come, as sure as God is in heaven, tomorrow is going to be Monday. And then you see people coming. How did you know that? How did you know that tomorrow is going to be Monday? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about predictive prophecy over a span of time where even the prophet who wrote it down didn't know what they were saying, because we're inspired by God. Mathematicians have said, for such, the probability when you study prophecy in the Bible and its fulfillment, says the probability of just one of these prophecies happening, the odds of it would be, listen, 1 to 10, and that 10, you power it up 17 times. So in other words, when you put it in your calculator, 1 over 10 to the power 17, it says error. It just cannot work. It's impossible. And someone defined it as, it's like you getting a sack of grain and putting a needle in the middle of that sack of grain, and then blindfolding a person and telling them you have one chance to pick that needle. Those are the chances. Let me tell you, there's only one who can do that. He's God Almighty, the author of his very word. He knows everything. You can trust him, and you can take him at his word, because the Bible says God knows the number of your hair. He does. And by the way, when we read that scripture, some of us say, so God knows how much hair I have. We don't even know how much hair you have. It's not just the number in terms of amount. Each of your hairs are numbered. Today, when you were combing your hair and the hair number 1,455 fell out of your head, God knows exactly which part of your hair fell out today, which part he has decided to relieve you of. I tell you, that's the God Almighty who's written his word. You can count on his word. You can trust him on his word. Let me end by this other evidence which I started with. We cannot deny the power of the transformation that comes from his word. This word transforms lives. It's no literal word. It's not like just any other textbook. I did my civil engineering. I studied physics, chemistry, and math. I read that stuff. It didn't change my life. It only informed me to pass my exams and gave me some basics of how to do things around. But the Bible's not just informative, it's transformative. Changes lives totally. Fall in love with this word. It's the reason for our faith. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 63, he says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and full of life. Fall in love with the word of God. No wonder the psalmist says here that the law of the Lord is perfect. It's refreshing to the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. They make wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant. They give light to the eyes. You want to go to your workplace radiating? Read the word of God. The fear of the Lord is pure. It's enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm. You can trust them. And all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold. More precious than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Let me hear a big amen. When you trust the word of God, it inspires faith that will be rewarded. The sure foundation for our faith is the word of God. Let me share a few stories as I end. Many years ago, missionaries came to Uganda and they brought the word of God, the gospel. In 1877, the gospel came to Uganda through missionaries. And they came to Buganda Kingdom, which was the most organized kingdom at that point, and a very influential kingdom, and introduced the gospel. The young people of the day, children and youth, embraced the gospel and it changed their lives forever. And the boys who were serving in the king's palace, their lives so transformed, they began to challenge the practices of the day. Because they're saying some of the things we are doing do not line up with the word of God. And that created trouble because the king began to say, what is going on in my kingdom? How come these boys are beginning to resist some things I'm asking them to do? Because they had encountered the gospel that changes lives. That king got very upset, and when the missionary sent the first archbishop to begin to consolidate the work of the gospel, he got that bishop murdered. His name was Bishop Hannington. But even the murder of Bishop Hannington could not stop the transformation that had happened in these boys' lives. And the king said, okay, boys, we gotta get rid of this thing that's beginning to change my kingdom. You better quit your faith or I'm going to kill you and burn you alive. Those boys said, you can burn us alive, but there's something on the inside of us that has changed our lives. 45 boys paraded by the king in his kingdom, burning them. But that fire couldn't quench the fire that was on the inside of them. We call them the Uganda Martyrs. And every 3rd of June, we are reminded there are some boys who can testify of the evidence of the transforming power of the gospel. Many Ugandans don't even know. This gospel changes lives. Let me bring one. You're saying that's a long time ago, but today give me evidence. Kanye West. Anybody knows that name? I never used to follow that name very much until I think he came to Uganda because he had a big following and people used him to have all kinds of things. Kanye West recently gave his life to Jesus. Now, the believers are the most skeptical. Is this real? And I understand. And for me, it's based on what I've just read and heard. I don't know. But Kanye West is not the first. When Saul gave his life to Jesus, the disciples said, no, this can't be real. It's just, and I understand. Because listen, my friends, there's a God who does the unthinkable. If God could save you through the power of the gospel, he can save Kanye West through the power of the gospel. And he's written his latest album themed. The name of the album is Jesus is King. Kanye West realized what Jesus said. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He may have his weaknesses. I don't know if he's doing this as a publicity stunt, but this is what Paul said. Whether it's the people do it for money or they are doing it genuinely, the gospel is still being preached and Jesus is still being glorified. I've been told, Google search, there has never been a time in history like today, people are searching about Jesus. This gospel, my friends, changes lives. Continue to put your faith in the word of God. is the sure foundation for our faith. Throw out the word of God, throw out the reason for our faith. Fall in love with the word of God. Read it. I challenge you, pull out your Bible from where you threw it. Get it and start reading that Bible. Because that word of God is God's very word to you. Really trust the word of God. Obey what the word of God says. Apply it in your life. And watch your life change forever. We choose faith over fear in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portodochurch.com.